Please welcome my Wandschloss to the stage.
Okay. Yes. Hello and welcome to my talk about what's been new in Foch. This is supposed to be like a status update of all the things the team has worked on throughout last year. A little bit about myself. I've been using like Linux First Forms for half a decade now and am involved in various capacities, sometimes more, sometimes less. But before going on, I do want to emphasize that the things that I'm about to present, they are obviously a team effort, and I don't want to give the impression that it was all my doings. Okay, so let's see. For those of you who are maybe unfamiliar, or let me quickly say what kind of three things in my mind the word Foch can represent. So the first one would be the actual graphical shell. Foch stands for phone shell. We have a couple of different projects in that space, and they often kind of follow this naming convention. And in a bit more broader sense, it is not just the shell, but also kind of ecosystem of more or less closely related components around that you also need, of which I'll talk a little bit more in a couple of slides. And lastly, Foch can also be understood to mean like a whole project movement that tries to just kind of push mainline Linux further along, and we try to contribute where we can have an impact to make these sort of phones work better for more use cases. This is roughly what the shell looks like. So you kind of have your app overview where you can start applications, switch to different applications. Of course, you have like a lock screen where you can take incoming calls, see currently playing media, and so on. And one of the things that we kind of have a lot in Foch is different plugins. You really don't need to take a look at all of the things there. I've basically listed what plugins there are available, either that you can use like as a quick settings. So if you pull down the top bar, you get different things that you can set up, and those are implemented as plugins. And the same is also true for plugins that you can have on your lock screen, so that you can access, for example, your railway ticket and don't have to unlock the phone. In terms of the stack, this is roughly what we are having. To be honest, this particular diagram is a bit dated, but so you have things like modem manager, network manager for like connectivity. Of course, we're building on top of Linux, and we have regular init systems, components like GNOME session, GNOME settings daemon that like take care of all sorts of things, from brightness to, in case of IIO, sensor proxy, your, let's say, phone orientation, and so on. So basically, as I've alluded to earlier, we have these different components that kind of form the Foch experience trademark, and what like the most important parts are obviously the shell itself. You have a compositor, like Wayland compositor. You do need a on-screen keyboard if you want to kind of navigate a phone. FeedbackD is a daemon that provides haptic feedback, audio feedback, and blinks your LEDs. For configuring settings within Phosh, we have this Phosh mobile settings application, which allows you to configure, for example, some of the thing like quick settings and other things like that. Some of the perhaps lesser known components are Phosh Tour, which is supposed to be like launched on the on first boot, and just give a user like the tour of what kind of things you can do, what the interaction models look like. We have a greeter to kind of like for your display manager to log in into your session, and that's there's two, the FOG, like phone greeter, is the old one, and Frog, the newer one, which is also as indicated by the R written in Rust, and that makes use of like this libphosh library or the particular Rust bindings in that case. And we have more components like that that are shared between within this software project. Kind of activity-wise, just by commits, to give you a rough overview of in which areas there was work done. And the biggest chunk is definitely like Phosh itself, followed by the compositor. We have things like cell broadcast D, which I'll also talk about in a second. And just to maybe give a couple of numbers, we're still following this target of 6 weeks until we cut a new release. So that has totaled up to 8 like proper new versions, and additionally, like there were 3 bug fix releases when things kind of broke, or we had to adapt to the world breaking things. And yeah, so cell broadcast support is something that has been worked on this year. Also, in the year before that, there were already some bits for on both the modem manager and the Phosh side, but we've kind of expanded on that a little more. We now have this daemon called cell broadcast D, and that is kind of talking to modem manager to fetch cell broadcast messages and provides a storage, and also gives you like a way to configure subscribed. You don't actually subscribe to specific channels, but you tell it, I want presidential alerts, for example. I mean, I don't think those are actually meant to be, those always need to be subscribed to, but you get the idea. And all the stored messages are then viewable in Phosh mobile settings. This looks roughly like this, so you can see both like in the top, the sort of I'm just going to say channels in air quotes that you can subscribe to, or what sort of alerts you want to be notified of, and in the bottom you just have like all the historical messages listed there. And it was pretty cool when we actually saw real cell broadcast messages coming in for like a test thing in Germany, and it not only works on one particular phone, but here we have like a, I think it's a OnePlus 6 and a Librem 5, so sufficiently different phones are in principle able to display these sort of data. Another thing that was being worked on was, so you do have a kind of problem on these phones. So you want, for example, alarm your alarm clock to always go to the speaker and not whatever happens to be currently the default output. There was some work in wire plumber and pipe wire to kind of accommodate this. Of course, we also had like media roles back in Pulse Audio already. And there it also already worked to like kind of duck and cork different audio streams. So if you had an incoming phone call, kind of your music player should maybe not blast out music. And the other thing is all these different media roles, you probably want to have the ability to set different volumes per role, so that you don't run into the problem that you have your volume completely turned down, and your either a phone call comes in or your alarm clock goes off. You do want to be able to hear that, even if the overall overall volume levels are maybe not quite right. If you want to learn some more, there's this link that you can follow up. And maybe the one thing that we can say is if your application is using Feedback D, you would basically already get all of this for free, because while it's currently not enabled by default, this feature yet, because we're kind of wanting to have Pipewire and Wire Plumber releases in distros before we switch that default. But if your application is using Feedback D, you would basically get the setting of all these media roles for all the different events for free, as the mapping is internal to Feedback D. In keyboard related news, there have been a couple of improvements, and this video is playing very slowly. That's not good, but you can imagine that it was supposed to show like a little popover over the button you've pressed, which you can disable, of course, but yeah. Then we also got this kind of thing which makes using the keyboard a bit nicer, is that if you long press your backspace key, that it would start deleting whole worlds, and it kind of just makes things a little bit nicer. And on the video on the right, you can see that we can also now offer emojis for completion targets, which is a very important feature. One of the things that, again, it's not great that the videos are so stuttery, but we're having this gesture that you can use on the lock screen to kind of change brightness, because if you don't have like the automatic brightness set up already, then kind of things could get awkward, having to pull out down the top bar and not being able to kind of properly see things. Again, this will probably also not be super great, but in the file selector, we do have, you saw it maybe just for a small split second there, that we're now able to generate our own or generate thumbnails in the file selector. And there's support for like detecting captive portals. If you have a connectivity check UI set up in Network Manager, we do have a very nice quick setting toggle for enabling, disabling hotspot. And not only that, but it will show you like a QR code that you can use to set up connection easily. No, come on. a bit slow today. And to in terms of mobile settings, I do want to, this is not exactly new, the picture on the left, but I do wanted to kind of draw attention to the fact that you can set up your own sounds to be played on incoming calls, SMS, alarm, and so on. And on the right, it's just set. You can configure for which types, so what kind of category a notification is in, that is allowed to unblank your screen and light it back up. And the same also for different category severities. No, they don't call it. Urgency is the word I'm looking for. Next, we speaking of kind of waking up or unblanking the screen. One of the things that you can that you don't want usually is if you have if you press your volume buttons, you usually don't want to unblank your screen if it's not already unblanked, and you can for the phone of your choice, if it's not already set up, provide this sort of data in to help the compositor not unblank your screen. We do have in mobile broadband provider info a new set of data that is like emergency numbers where you specify, okay, 112 is used for, so first of all, in my country, I can call this number and that is used for, I don't know, fire brigade and so on. So please do have a look for your country. Maybe if there's stuff missing, submit a patch. The same is obviously true for all other data and mobile provider info, such as APN and so on. We do have do not disturb mode nowadays. You can kind of also from the quick settings, like the, for your feedback levels, you have a little button that you can press there. Same is true for auto brightness. Our lock screen can now show wallpapers, which like without any CSS hacks or anything like that. The post market OS tweaks suit has been kind of merged is not the right word, but within Fosh Mobile settings you can have all these you have a way to kind of change all the tweaks that are available in Okay, I think I kind of need to get a little bit quicker. One other noteworthy thing is that we founded a nonprofit association. It kind of wants to talk about all of these sort of things. And obviously, tax deductible in Germany, being recognized as a nonprofit, and donations are welcome. If you want to get involved, there's multiple different ways that you can do that. One short thing that I do want to call out again is these nightly packages, where you basically where the current main is daily being built and put into an archive. We do have that for Debian, and as I learned yesterday, this is also available in PostMarketOS, or if you paid attention to Oli's talk earlier. And in the future, there's some things. These are just like an LNET grants that I thought would be kind of noteworthy. And I think I should give it now up to you for any questions that you might have. Thank you. Yes?
So right now the wake up thing for the volume buttons, it's kind of in G Mobile, right?
Yeah, the question was where the volume button wake up thing lives. Yes, that is in G Mobile.
Yeah.
It ships a hardware database thing, and that basically then at the end of the day leads to some UDEV stuff being set, and that allows the compositor to do its thing, or in this case don't do it, doesn't.
I was just wondering, do you think it would make sense to move this to device tree instead, or do you think it's too high level for that?
The question was whether I think this makes sense to move it to the device tree instead, and honestly I don't know, mostly because I'm not a low-level kind of person. Perhaps.
No.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't get all of that. You're running Fosh on your TV. Nice. Yeah. So the question, to kind of summarize it, was to whether there's plans or work done on improving the desktop use case. Yes, would be the short answer. We do have one of the things that we that was implemented not that long ago is, for example, workspace support. I know that Guido, for example, lead developer, has been using Fosh on his laptop since, I think, probably basically the first version ever. So yeah, there's definitely interest in that area. It's not exactly in what you are asking, but I think the landscape story could also generally be improved, and that may have some overlap just because the orientation is similar. Okay, I'm sorry, the time's up, but you can ask me later. Quick question, yes.
Okay, quick question. How do you choose a feature you work on?
How I choose a feature to work on? Basically, it depends on my personal level of annoyance. So, okay, yeah.
Right. How else do you implement in the open source?
Yeah. Okay, thanks.